evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Fulton Lewis, Jr., speaking from the studios of radio station WOL in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. The Supreme Court of the United States, and the highest symbol of American democratic justice, sat in solemn judgment today in the case of the 8 Nazi saboteurs. Something for you as an American to be proud of, justice to all, even to those who would try to destroy the system and the principles that provide that justice. Under the Nazi system, which they were sent here to serve, the guns of a firing squad would have spit death to the 8 of them long ago. Not so in this land. Here they're having their secret trial by a special military commission appointed by the president. They were given counsel to defend them, able lawyers from the office of the Adjutant General of the United States Army, and that defense by those able lawyers, as it turned out before the Supreme Court today, was a very real defense, a very capable defense, as it should be, within the right and honor and pride of the American way of doing things. Those lawyers accepted the plea of the prisoners that they came to the United States aboard that submarine to escape from Germany rather than to do any harm to the United States. A bit difficult to believe, and the members of the court showed very clearly by their questioning that they considered it difficult to believe. Those lawyers argued every possible angle of defense, however, even to such technicalities as the claim that they were not saboteurs until they actually made an attempt to do some damage to American property, which they say has not been established by the prosecution. The court also was plainly unimpressed with that argument. The plea of the defense today was that the president had no constitutional power to set this military commission up or to deny the prisoners the right to trial in civil courts. The Supreme Court will decide that possibly tomorrow. But the magnificent part of it all is, the proud part is, that every possible recourse of American justice was exhausted for these 8 men who came here with bombs in their pockets and months of actual training in a German military sabotage school. There has been no compromising with principle or tradition. The court recessed late today until tomorrow, and whatever the decision is, we may know that the things we are fighting for were upheld to the letter of honor, even against our enemies when they were in our power. 2 major committees of Congress went to work today on the proposal by Mr. Henry J. Kaiser, the shipbuilding wizard from the Pacific Coast, to convert the shipyards that are now producing surface vessels to the construction of giant cargo planes. And frankly, the testimony of those experts who appeared today was not too favorable. One of the experts was the famous Eddie Rickenbacker, America's number one ace from the last war and now head of Eastern Airlines. He knows a good deal about cargo planes and what they have to be. He's been in the business of cargo passenger transportation for a long, long time. And he said there's a far, far cry indeed between the building of surface vessels and the building of airplanes. A witness from the War Production Board told the Truman Investigating Committee of the Senate that even though it would be plausible to build these cargo planes of wood, or perhaps of stainless steel, or perhaps of aluminum if they could get the aluminum, the really great problem is where to get the engines for them. He said that every engine that can possibly be produced by American industry through the end of next year already has been allocated to an airplane that is in production, and the steel shortage is such that it's virtually impossible to enlarge the engine program. They did not throw down Mr. Kaiser's proposal completely. After all, Mr. Kaiser's record of past performances on Boulder Dam and Magnesium and a half dozen other projects is such that he's a dangerous person to throw down until you've heard his story completely and digested every word of it. And tomorrow, he arrives here in Washington to present that story. Perhaps he has a solution on that matter of engines. We'll see when the time comes. In the meantime, the general attitude here is that they hope that he can prove his case. It's widely agreed that a fleet of cargo planes would be much more effective, much more efficient as a method of transporting men and supplies to Europe than surface vessels which are subject to torpedo attack by German submarines. But while the reception here is friendly, toward being convinced, they are a bit pessimistic about the possibilities. In the meantime, Mr. Andrew Jackson Higgins of Louisiana, who was going into partnership with Mr. Kaiser on this project of converting shipyards into airplane building plants, he has gone back to New Orleans even before Mr. Kaiser arrives here. He says the situation is hopeless. There's no way to prevent the government from canceling his contract for his immense new shipyard, all because of the steel shortage. As a matter of fact, it's beginning to look as though perhaps we ought to dig into this steel shortage. Everywhere you turn, it seems to be blocking the war effort, according to government officials. It's gotten so that every time some proposal is rejected, the reason given is the steel shortage. Now, I have in the studio with me tonight, ladies and gentlemen, a very interesting and distinguished colleague of mine from a neighboring and very friendly nation, a gentleman from whom you'll hear considerably more as time goes on. I'll explain that to you in just a moment. I want to have the pleasure and privilege of introducing him to the American audience myself, the outstanding radio commentator of Mexico, Alonso Sordo Noriega.
Thank you, Fulton. I hope that this is only the first of many times that your voice and mine will be heard on radio programs in Mexico and in the United States.
Mr. Noriega, ladies and gentlemen, is delivering a full 15-minute program on this coast-to-coast mutual network this evening. But there's a more important purpose for his visit to the United States. Suppose you tell them about it, Alonso.
Well, the reason I'm here is to make arrangements to combine a number of radio stations in Mexico with your mutual broadcasting system here, so that we may enjoy the best of your programs and you may enjoy the best of ours. It seems to me that we can contribute in every real way to the solidarity of our two nations by that method.
I'd like to say here, Alonso, if I might interrupt it, and I think that every listener in America will agree with me on this, that your Republic of Mexico has won more esteem and respect and true affection in the American public opinion, the American mind, by the quick and very courageous way that Mexico entered this war after those two cargo ships of yours were sunk, than anything that Mexico has done in 100 years.
Well, and I think, Fulton, that our two nations fighting side by side in this war will come out of it at the victorious conclusion with the best understanding and mutual respect and affection that ever has existed.
Can you tell us, Alonso, a little bit about what Mexico is doing actively in the war?
Well, for one thing, we are doing everything possible to help in the production of war materials. We are increasing our output of steel and guns and all sorts of fighting equipment, just as you are, and into our possibilities.
I only hope that you're doing better than we are in steel, because it seems that we have a pretty bad bottleneck with us at the moment.
And let me tell you, in addition to that, we are expanding our army. And it's a very well-trained, well-equipped army, well-equipped army. And now we have two generals in command of our defenses on the two coasts. And both of them are ex-presidents of Mexico. Both of them in perfect accord. Politics has been put aside. And there is, no fooling around, Fulton.
As we say. One way you could help tremendously, I think, would be to help us make sure that no submarines in the Gulf of Mexico or the Caribbean are able to get supplies or fuel at Latin American hideaways. We've been worried about that, you know.
Well, we are very much awake to that, and we recognize it as one of our most important jobs in both coasts. As a matter of fact, though, it is not only Latin America hideaways that must be watched. Do you know that was found a raft not very long ago from a destroyed German submarine? And the raft was supplied with provisions that came from some place on the United States coast. It had napkins and some menus from a restaurant tucked away on it.
No, I did not know that. It makes my face very red.
Oh, no, no.
Now, about this arrangement between your Mexican network and the mutual network, I do think it has tremendous constructive possibilities. The one problem that comes to my mind is the problem of language, however, Alonso. Your programs are in Spanish, ours are in English.
Yes.
My news commentary, for example, isn't voiced very much to the people of your country who cannot understand English, is it?
Well, perhaps we might arrange for a running translation, or you might learn Spanish.
I doubt that.
I don't know of any better way to teach Spanish to Americans or English to Mexicans than by mixing a little of both into the same broadcast.
On entertainment programs, for example?
Yes. Do your announcing in English, but give us a quick title in Spanish and we'll do the same to you.
Well, I think that might work. Let's hope so anyway.
What I want is a combination of programs in which my people and your people hear the same program at the same time.
Well, the very best of luck to you, Alonzo Sordo Noriega.
Thank you very kindly, Fulton, for your hospitality.
Not at all, and it's been delightful to have you here. Now back to the news. I learned late this afternoon that there's a new and highly constructive development in the synthetic rubber situation. This has not been announced as yet, but the War Production Board has put into effect a new scale of super priority ratings, and all construction materials and equipment for all synthetic rubber plants have been placed on that preferred list. As you know, the best priority that the War Production Board has been authorized to issue in the past is the so-called A1A. The only thing better than that was a AA priority, which was issued only by the Army Navy and Munitions Board for strictly emergency materials. As of tonight, however, a new scale is in effect by which the War Production Board itself can issue a AA1, AA2, AA3, or AA4 priority. And even ahead of ratings is a new one, AAA, which takes precedence over everything else. It's gotten to be something like the adjectives that Hollywood used to use in its moving picture advertising. The construction materials for the synthetic rubber plants have been A1A, but they were boosted today, all of them, to AA3 and AA4. And most significant of all, the priority ratings for the pilot plant of the Publicar Corporation in Philadelphia, about which we've had a great deal to say on this program, that pilot plant in which they will demonstrate their alcohol process for making synthetic rubber, those priorities were boosted today to AA3. That, you remember, was the case in which the Publicar Corporation was told by the Rubber Reserves Corporation that they could not be considered for a rubber contract because they couldn't show a pilot plant in operation on a large scale. While, on the other hand, the Publicar Corporation couldn't get adequate priorities to get the materials with which to build the pilot plant. Never mind that, however, the priorities for the Publicar plant now are AA3, and until all other priorities for all other lines of war production are boosted up, this Publicar plant does get preference. That's the top of the news as it looks from here, ladies and gentlemen. Until tomorrow evening, good night.
The news each weekday evening at this same time, originating at WOL in Washington. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.